I'm coming. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everybody here on this Sunday after Easter. I think a lot of people were out of town last Sunday, and some people came in town, and now you're back in town. So I think we got kind of a net zero here. But we're glad that you are all here. We have some announcements together. Sympathy to Jean Jones in the passing of her brother, Ben Carmichael. We are sorry for your loss, but we rejoice in the promises of the resurrection, which are ours. We are having lunch today following worship, and everybody is invited to come and share a meal together. It's always good fun, good food, and good fellowship. So come and enjoy the three F's. We want you to also note that the pulpit nominating committee, and you've got to understand, in Presbyterianism, there's always an acronym, and for this, it is the PNC. The PNC is going to host a listening session during lunch today. They're all going to be gathered at a table, and you can go and tell them what you are looking forward to in the next pastor, or you can tell them what you absolutely will not tolerate in the next pastor. And if you feel a need to use my name as a bad example, please feel free. Such is the task of the interim. We are going to have a concert on the 23rd by Spatial Effects. This is a group that has Tom, whose last name has gone right out of my mind. Tom Brown. Tom Brown's group's going to be here on the 23rd, and that's going to be to benefit our free little pantry. So he was so taken with that idea of ministry when the last Deo concert was here that he is volunteering his time and his group, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. So come and bring a little change with you to go toward the cause. The adult Sunday school class has resumed our Essential 100 curriculum. And next week, we're going to be studying the journeys of Paul. So if you've always wondered about Paul, this will be your opportunity to learn a little bit more about him. And there are always a lot of questions about St. Paul. And we did have our one great hour of sharing offering last Sunday and through the Lenten season, and we raised $1,107.03. So please, if you have more you want to give, we will certainly accept it from you and thank you for your faithfulness. Now, Sosta Alice has some announcements about missions. All right, put that on your calendars. And finally, a note of personal privilege, if I may. Miss Vicki sends her thanks for all the thoughts, the cards, the prayers. Turns out she broke every rib but one in her fall. And so we're nurturing that one very carefully. She is having some trouble breathing, but we got her a nebulizer and a CPAP. And so she's doing well. And I asked her if she was in much pain, And her response was, no more so than I've been in for the last 45 years. So. Then let us come and greet each other. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us worship God and let us pray. We are standing in the glory of Easter. We are witnesses to the wonder of new and resurrected life. Speak to us, O Lord, of the gift of eternity, which is ours in Jesus Christ. Shine the light of your grace upon our souls and call us to new and open service to all of your children. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray, we stand in the light of your resurrection, yet our souls strive to return to the darkness of our tombs. It is comfortable there, even though it is dark and cold and nothing ever changes. We long to withdraw and die in our sin. It is easy, but such is not our calling. Help us to step out into the light of Easter and see clearly the task you have set before us. Help us to love the light and leave our tombs by the power of our living Lord. Amen. Good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Here comes the thundering horde. Well, we have doubled our numbers, tripled almost. Well, hey, come on up, dear. Okay, you know what our tradition is. I say good morning, and you say it back to me as loud as you can. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, very good. I hope we didn't scare her. Oh, no, she's okay. All right, got Mama right there. Well, do you know what this day is? It is the second Sunday after Easter. And it means that we are now fully in the Easter season. That's why we are wearing white today, which is the color of triumph and the color of celebration. It is the color we wear for Easter and also for Christmas. Do you like Christmas? Yes, yes. You like Easter? Yeah, okay. Well, I do too, because they're... A what now? You wear red and white for Christmas. That is right. And I wear some red and some white too, and sometimes some green. And sometimes I have on a funny hat, and I have a red suit. And I used to put a pillow in front of my belly, but I don't need to anymore. Actually, I lost 6 pounds this week. I'm not sure how. It's kind of like the Titanic throwing off a deck chair. But be that as it may, it's a time of celebration and fun and remembering above all that Jesus is risen, and we're going to be in this season for 50 days until the celebration of Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church. Maybe at Pentecost, when we celebrate that, do you think we should have a birthday cake for the church?
No.
No? Yes. Okay, the eyes have it. How about some ice cream, too?
Yes.
Balloons?
Yes.
Clowns?
Yes.
No clowns. Okay, yeah. Clowns are creepy. Let's remember, this is a time of party, of celebration. Clowns are kind of creepy, and Stephen King and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't much care for clowns any. I don't like the competition. Okay, let's remember. You don't like the faces on them? No, I don't either. I'm ugly enough. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for the joy of this season as spring is coming and flowers are blooming and pools are about to open and wonderful things are happening all during Easter. So help us to remember that this is a time of celebration, of parties, and of giving thanks to you for Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'll see you next Sunday.
Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His elite officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You sent out your fury. It consumed them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up, the floods stood up in a heap, the deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? This is the word of the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the first letter of Peter, reading from the first chapter, verses 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
not stir you. We will call the funeral home right now. Thank you, choir. You know, the glory of Easter always has in the background the shadow of the cross. People ask every now and again, Pastor, why do you sometimes make the sign of the cross? Part of that's because I went to a Roman Catholic military school. But it's so that the cost of sin is never forgotten, and the promise of grace is never diminished. The cross is our sign. And I have permission from Father Broglie to use it. And he said, you can too. My grandmother told me doing so was an automatic go to hell. Go to hell, go directly to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Father Broglie says, it's all right, it's ours. So there. Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to St. John, the 19th through the 31st verses, the very familiar passage about Jesus' resurrected appearance to the disciples and then later to Thomas. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Eternal God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you come to us and you call us to belief. And beyond belief, you call us to act. Strengthen us that our lives in you may be lives of action and results. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, there they are. They're all huddled in that upper room, and they're waiting to see what's going to happen next. Waiting. You know, we spend a lot of our time waiting. Waiting for things that may happen, waiting for things that may never happen. We spend a lot of time anticipating things to happen in our lives. And in so doing, we're often waiting for things to happen to us rather than through us. Let me say that again. We wait for things to happen to us instead of through us. And this passage today is a dramatic example of what can indeed happen. They're waiting in that upper room. The doors are locked. It is the day of Easter, as a matter of fact, and they're terrified. They saw what happened to Jesus, and they are waiting for the Jews and the Roman garrison to show up and arrest them and give them the same fate. And in the midst of all this anxiety and waiting, Jesus comes through the locked door, apparently, and says, "Shalom," which is Hebrew for "peace be with you." That's another word you can feel free to use if you want to, shalom. If you're in southern Judea, you would say shalom y'all. So, Jesus there tells them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Out of this room, out into the streets, out into the world, I'm sending you. And by the way, I'm not sending you alone. And he breathes on them and he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another Pentecost moment in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, in which the Holy Spirit comes. This, however, happens on the day of Easter. This is called the Johannine Pentecost, okay? The Johannine gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's in the book of John. Go use that phrase with some of your friends to see what they say about you. Wow, that's a Bible scholar there. Impress your friends, dismay your enemies. There you are. Okay, the Johannine Pentecost. Jesus breathes upon the disciples gathered there, and when he does that, their terminology changes. They're no longer disciples, those who learn. Now they are apostles, those who are sent out into the world. He charges them, receive the Holy Spirit, and I'm giving you not only the ability, but I'm giving you the authority. Not only the responsibility, but the authority. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Responsibility and authority. He gives them both to those apostles. But you know, golly gee, Pete, there's one missing. Thomas, the twin, so-called doubting Thomas. I prefer to think of him as Thomas the pragmatist. He is kind of from Missouri, the show me state. I'm not going to believe unless I see the nails in his hands and put my hand in the wound in his side. Do you remember Eeyore in Christopher Robin, the 100-Acre Wood? Eeyore, I call Thomas the Gospel of Eeyore, because Thomas is always saying something negative. When Jesus says, "We're going to go into Jerusalem, and this is for the last time," Thomas says, "Well, let us go with him that we may die there also." And then today, old Eeyore comes out again. "Unless I see and put my fingers in the wounds of his hand and put my hands in his side, I'm not going to believe." The pragmatist, not necessarily a doubter per se, but a pragmatist. Show me. Kind of like the old Wendy's commercial, "Where's the beef?" Show me. Same scene. 1 week later, Sunday afternoon, sun's going down. Thomas is there now. Thomas is with them. Where was he the first time? We don't know. I like to think he'd gone out to Burger King to get hamburgers for everybody. He was the one who you could count on to do that kind of thing, the pragmatist. Well, they've got to eat. I guess I'll go. You know, speaking of Burger King, if you go, which we weren't, but we are now, just follow along, trust me on this. If you go in Israel, Burger King is called Burger Melech, which is the Hebrew name for king. And so in Israel, you can go to Burger Melech and have it Yahweh. Do I need to explain that? Never mind. So Thomas is here now. And Jesus comes through that magic door one more time, says, Shalom, peace be with you. And you know, one thing Jesus doesn't do that I think I would if I were him, he doesn't ask, why are you still here? A week ago, I gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you're still in this room? What is wrong with you people? He doesn't say that. He doesn't judge. He has a view of time which is kind of beyond ours. He knows it's going to take a while for the apostles to get the intestinal fortitude to go out and do what he's asked them to do. Things take time in the kingdom of God. And he comes in and there is Thomas. And he says, here are my hands, stick your fingers in them. Here's my side, put your hand in it. And all of a sudden, Thomas does not do what he said he wanted to do. He gives this dramatic exclamation, my Lord and my God. And he says it like he means it. Why? Because he does. He has come to this theophany, this revelation of God to him, that this is real. Same revelation that had come to the rest of the apostles has now come to Thomas. And he will go out. And he will become one of the most far-flung of the apostles. He will take the church of Jesus Christ to India. And we believe up into China. The Bar Thomas Church, the Bar Toma Church is still present there in India today. One of the oldest expressions of the faith. Sometimes those of us who are a little slow on the uptake of the faith become the faith's greatest proponents. And we do well to give people the space they need to come to belief. Now I want to go back in the passage a little bit where Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit. The adult Sunday school class this morning was talking about the Holy Spirit, the giving of breath to the disciples. I want you to go back in your Bible knowledge to the creation of the world. God's Spirit, God's breath, hovers over the created chaos and breathes order and life into the cosmos. God takes clay or dust and makes a human form. And what does God do? God breathes life into this piece of clay, and that piece of clay lives. I want you to think about that. When Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit unto the disciples, he is giving them his life. He's giving them his strength. He's giving them his wisdom. He's giving them his power. Not so they can sit in that upper room and navel gaze for weeks on end. He gives it to them so that they themselves might go out into the world and breathe that same life-giving power to all the ends of the earth. One of my favorite sayings is, it's not enough to get a blessing. You have to be a blessing. I hear all the time people saying, oh, I'm praying for a blessing. I'm praying for a blessing. Well, you know, you've probably already had several, but now you need to be a blessing. You see, that's part of God's marvelous economy of humanity. We are not called just to receive the breath of God. We are called to share it. Some of you are saying, I can see it in your faces, oh my Lord, he's calling me to go out and evangelize. No. God's not going to call you to do anything God hasn't equipped you to do. If your special gift is to drive a tractor, then you drive a tractor for God. And there may be somebody who has need of a tractor driver out there. I needed one this past week. I had 9 big 25-year-old plants that were called to glory over the winter. Big things. I thought I might dig them out. That lasted about 2 minutes. Called a friend of mine who has a big excavator. Can you come over here and give me about a half day of your work? He said, sure. Came over. He looked at the task. My Lord, we're going to need a dump truck. We're going to need 2 dump trucks, preacher. But he had them. He came over. And we negotiated a price. And all of a sudden, I had a tractor pulling out those big plants. Now my house looks like World War II. We'll fix that. If you teach for God, bring forth the best out of those little lives that you can do. If you are in retail, be in retail for God and build relationships with people so that they will know that there's something special about you. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. You see, that's what this passage is about. It's not just about old Doubting Thomas. It's about the gift we have received. This unbelievable belief that we have that sets us apart and calls us to be, yes, more than we really are. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, a willingness to accept that living breath which you give us in every age, in every person, that all that we do and all that we are may glorify you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. Despite the glories of Easter, O Lord, it has been a difficult week. For your children are a warring lot. And misery and violence yet beset the earth which you created. And we gather here to ask your peace, your blessing, and your mercy upon those who this week have suffered from the violence of weapons, those who have suffered from the callousness of the human heart, those who know hunger and strife and anxiety. Be, we pray, with those who suffer the violence of others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we are mindful of those who live in their own private hells of addiction and dependency. Somewhere along the way, they have lost the idea that they themselves are enough. And they have to lean on a crutch or a person or a drug or alcohol. And that robs them of their dignity and perhaps even their humanity. Give them, we pray, those who live in dependence upon drugs and alcohol and in abusive relationships. Give them, we pray, your peace and your vision of who by your power they are. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we live in a world where politicians seem to be having a hard time expressing your will. We live in a world where power grabs and greed seem all too common. Be with those, O Lord, who strive after power and give them a sense of your service, that they may truly serve the people who have elected them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we pray for ourselves, O Lord. You alone know the depths of our souls, our sorrow and our despair. You alone know the heights of our joys and our triumphs. Be with us as we seek to go forth from this place. Having received your breath, send us out to be the breath of life for the world. Lord, in your mercy. And send us forth as those who pray. Help us, O Lord, to pray boldly the prayer which your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. Eternal God, giver of all good gifts, we thank you that you have blessed us in so many ways. And as a token of our dependence upon you, we return unto you a portion of that which you first entrusted to us. Bless each gift, bless each giver, through the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
hymn that encompasses all of life, even death, and life beyond death. Such is the glory of Easter. So go forth from this place in peace to sense the life-giving breath that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to you, and in receiving, give it to those round about you. In the name of God the Father, who created us, God the Son, who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.